I'm all that's between you and the beer. So thanks for attending the last session round here on the SharePoint Saturday Madrid. Today I'm going to talk about how to secure your data in Office 365. Of course, first, let me introduce myself. My name is Maarten Ekels. I am from the Netherlands, and there I am the CTO of a consultancy company called Portiva. We're about 50 people, and we basically all we do is implement SharePoint and Office 365. I'm also a Microsoft MVP, and I'm also a board member of the DWORK, which is the Dutch Information Worker User Group, the biggest local community around SharePoint and Office 365 in the Netherlands. All right, first let me thank all the sponsors, because without these sponsors, this events like this, free events, they would not exist. So I'm sure you've seen the slide before today. Let's move on to the agenda. I've got quite a lot of content that I want to show you in the next 15 minutes or so. First, we're going to talk about data encryption. What is Microsoft already doing themselves when it comes to encrypting your data in Office 365? All right, so I'm going to show you what they do, both data in rest and both data in transit. What is Microsoft doing themselves? Then we're going to talk about message encryption, which is a feature that is available in Office 365, but most people do not know about it. And it's something that's turned off by default. You can enable it, though, and I will show you how to enable it in Office 365. And I will also show you in a demo what it does. You can really use message encryption to make sure that whenever you send an email, that this email is only being read by the person who this email is intended for. That's what message encryption is about. And I'm going to show you how that works. Next up is rights management. When we talk about rights management, I'm going to show you how users themselves can encrypt documents or PDFs or emails or content. They can encrypt the content and they can make sure that the content is only accessible to the people that they allow the content to be accessible by. And then they can also decide if this content should be read-only, or maybe it should be editable, or maybe you do not want the content to be printed out or copied or sent outside your organization. That's all possible with rights management. So I'm going to show you how to define that, how to enable it, how you can define policies, and how, as an end user, you can use it. Then we're going to talk about data loss prevention, which is more from an IT and business perspective, where you can create rules to make sure that the data does not leave your organization, or maybe you want some policy tips that, hey, be careful, this data contains sensitive information, and you're going to send it to someone outside your organization. You can create rules for that, and the end user will be notified. They will get a tip, they will get a warning, or whatever, if they want to send that information outside the organization. And then there's mobile device management. If you have your workforce, if you have people in your organization and they have their own phones, they have their own tablets, right? And they want to access information in Office 365. As a company, maybe that's fine. Maybe you would like your users to access that information on their own devices. But you want to be sure that these devices are at least safe. Maybe you want to make sure that they are not jailbroken, or maybe you want to make sure that at least they have a PIN code, that whenever they leave their phone somewhere in a train or in a bar or wherever they lose it, that the next person who finds that phone, they can access the phone, they open up the OneDrive app, and the username and credentials, they have been cached, they're stored inside that app, and they can access all the information. That's not something you want from an organizational perspective. And with mobile device management, you can enforce that person, that employee, hey, it's okay if you use your own personal device, but I want you to have a PIN code on that device. And if we have enough time, I'm going to do a live demo of enrolling an iPhone in the mobile device management of Office 365. All right, let's move on. First, do you know this, the ENS, do you know this rules, these policies in Spain? Office 365 was accredited by Esquema Nacional de Seguridad last Monday. And they are the first big cloud provider who actually received the accreditation from them. So that's a really nice thing. This is typically for Spain. And well, I think Microsoft acquired the accreditation just for my session today, last Monday, right? So I could tell you about this. And basically what that means is that these are all the services that are covered. And if you would like to know more, I will share the slides later on. And if you click that link in the slides, it will bring you to the article where Microsoft has the news about this certification. And all the Office 365 services are in there. And there's a lot of Azure services in there as well. So for example, when you use Office 365 video, that's not here in the services covered, but it uses media services of Azure, and that's also covered. That's also accredited, right? So you can use everything in Office 365. So that's a nice thing. Let's move on to the content of my presentation, data encryption. If we look at data, the data can either be in rest, right? It can be at rest. That means it's stored somewhere and nobody is accessing that data. Or data can be in transit. And that means that I am accessing that data. Maybe I'm in a web browser, or maybe I'm in Outlook and I'm requesting my email, my inbox. But it could also mean that data is being transferred from one server to another server within the data centers of Microsoft. That's also data in transit. When you look at data at rest, then what you should know is that every drive that Microsoft uses in their data centers is using BitLocker drive encryption. So even if I would find a hard drive, I think the chances are fairly small. But even if I would find a hard drive somewhere that has been used in the data center of Microsoft, then that drive, it's not accessible because you need the BitLocker drive encryption, the encryption key to unlock that drive. Also, Microsoft uses per file encryption. So for SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business, every file that you upload into SharePoint Online or into OneDrive for Business is being cut up in little pieces. And all these pieces get encrypted. And the encryption key is stored in a different location than the actual chunks of the file. And of course, then you need some kind of map, because SharePoint needs to know where all the file chunks are being stored. And that map is encrypted itself as well, and also located on a different server. So if I would be walking around in a Microsoft data center, and I would be able to bring my laptop, which you are not, but let's assume I am able to bring my laptop, and I plug in my laptop, an Ethernet cable, somewhere in a server, and I can access the drive because the OS is up and the BitLocker drive is decrypted, and I can access that drive, I can still not access your files because all these files are encrypted as well, and they're being cut up in little chunks, right? So that's what Microsoft is doing when we talk about data in rest. And when we talk about data in transit, then you should know that all the workloads, everywhere where data is being moved around, Microsoft is using TLS encryption, right? And it's already withdrawing SSL support. SSL 2 is not safe anymore. SSL 3 is not safe anymore. TLS is the only really safe implementation of secure data layers now. And so they're already withdrawing all the SSL support as well. And this goes both from you as an end user when you access your data in the data centers, but also from all the data transit within the Microsoft data centers. All right, let's move on to the next topic, message encryption. So what I just told you when we discussed the agenda is I want to send out an email to someone in another organization, and I want to make sure that this person that I send this email to is the only person who can read that email. And what Microsoft thought about is, hey, if I want to make sure that that's happening, that that is the case, then I do not want that email to arrive at the mail server of that company. Because, first of all, there can be administrators who have access to the mail server. Or second, that mail server, you don't know, maybe it's hacked. Maybe there are people sniffing around listening to whatever arrives at that mail server. So what message encryption does is instead of sending out the actual email, it sends out a notification email that you have received an encrypted message, an encrypted email, and you need to type in, you need to authenticate yourself, and then you will access that email, but that you will read that email on the mail server of Office 365. So even though I received the notification in my other, in my personal mailbox, when I am reading the actual email, that will be in Office 365. And I will show you how that works in a demo. First, if you want to start using this, there's a couple of steps that you need to perform. First of all, you need to activate rights management in Office 365. Now, that's very, very, very easy. That's one toggle. That's just one button, enable rights management, and it's enabled. It takes 10 minutes, because in the backend, in Azure, it needs to be provided. It takes about 10 minutes, and then that's working. So that's the easy part. But next, you need to perform three PowerShell commands. And the PowerShell commands are also described fairly well at the TechNet article. The link is at the bottom of my slide here. But the three PowerShell commands you can see here, these are the three PowerShell commands that you need to perform. The first one, that's the one that you need to be careful about, because here there is an sprms.eu. This URL that you use in your PowerShell command is region dependent. Okay, so if you have your Office 365 tenant here in Europe, then this is the proper URL. But if you have an Office 365 tenant running in Asia or America or a different location, you're going to need a different URL. And these URLs are also provided at the TechNet article. So if you follow the TechNet article, you'll be fine. But just keep that in mind. Be sure where your Office 365 tenant is located before you run that PowerShell command. The second one and the third one, or actually step three and step four, they're the same for every region. All right? Let's show you what that looks like. So what I have done here is I have created a rule in Exchange Online. And this rule is called Secure Demo Protection. And basically, what the rule does is it checks if the email is sent to someone outside the organization. And whenever the email is sent out to someone outside the organization and it includes some words, the words secure demo, either in the subject or in the body of the email, in this case, then it will encrypt the message with Office 365 message encryption. Okay, so you can create, you can define your own rules. You can, maybe you want to make sure that whenever you're talking about patents, or really top secret stuff with people outside your organization. So whenever there's this top secret project name somewhere in your email, you want to make sure that you're sending out encrypted emails. Okay, so I'm going to my mail here. Going to Outlook Online and create a new email. And I'm going to send this to my personal Gmail account. SharePoint Saturday Madrid. And this is a very secure demo. So now I have these words, secure demo, in the body of my email. And I'm going to send out this email. This is really a funny reminder. Outlook doesn't really like if I send out emails without an attachment. I don't know why. So apparently every email needs an attachment. No. Yes, I really want to send it. Okay. Now this is my Gmail inbox. And what we should see in a couple of seconds, we should see an email arrive here. And what you will notice is that it is not the actual email that I send out, but it will be a notification. Let me refresh the mailbox. There we go. So I can, the topic, yeah, it's the same subject as I typed in. But if I open up the email, it says, hey, you have received an encrypted message from this person at the other side of the world. Okay. Now, I need to open this attachment. And it's going to ask me to, at least I hope, yeah. Here it says, hey, it's an encrypted message. How do you want to watch this message, view this message? You can sign in or you can use a one-time passcode. I cannot sign in with my Gmail account because I don't have an Office 365 account with my Gmail account. So I'm going to use a one-time passcode. And then a new page will open up where I can type in that one-time passcode. The Wi-Fi is a little bit slow. There we go. And now I have received a new email with my one-time passcode. So I'm going to type in this passcode, continue. And now you will see the actual email that was sent to me. And what you can see here is it looks just as if I am logged in with my Gmail account. And so here's my text. This is a very secure demo. But if you look at the URL, and I'm not sure if you can see it there in the room, but the URL is outlook.office365.com. So I'm reading this email on the Office 365 servers. The actual email never arrived at Gmail, right? It never arrived at Google. So Google cannot target me with ads because they read the content of this email. Okay, I can even reply from here, and then it will just reply from the Office 365 servers again. All right, makes sense? There's one big caveat, and that is the fact that we have all been trying to warn our users, please, if you get an email with a strange attachment, don't click that attachment, right? We've all been teaching our customers or our employees that could be someone hacking you. So if you are going to use this mechanism with people outside your organization, at least make sure you warn them up front. Hey, we're going to have some secure communication here. That will mean that you will receive emails from me with this attachment. That is secure in this case. Okay? So if you want to use this, make sure you you tell the users you're going to communicate with. All right. Next topic is rights management. Rights management is all about protecting sensitive information in your company based on encryption, identity, and policies. And what I mean with that is that whenever I have, let's say I have a Word file, a Word document, and I want to make sure that only a group of people can read that Word file and they cannot modify it. So I'm going to assign a policy to the document, namely that the people that I'm going to assign, they can only read the document, they're not allowed to modify it. Then I'm going to assign the people, the group of people, and then the rights management system will encrypt the file. And then I can send out that file. I can send it out by email, I can put it on SharePoint online, I can even put it on Dropbox or Box or FTP or every other server on a USB stick, it doesn't really matter. As soon as someone else opens up that Word document, he or she needs to authenticate because the Word file will check with my Azure environment if that person belongs to the group that I assigned to the file. Okay, so I need to authenticate. And then, so if I'm in that group, then the Word file will receive communication back from Azure. Yes, this person is actually in the group. Okay, then it will check the policy. What is this person allowed to do with the document? Ah, he's only allowed to read the document. Okay, so then I'm going to open it in read-only mode. And then it decrypts the file. Only then it decrypts the file. All right, does that make sense? And the cool thing is, it really works abroad outside your organization as well. Microsoft also has a document tracking portal that is part of the E5. That's part of the Azure Active Directory Premium license, which is, for example, also part of the EMS license, or you can buy it separately. But if you have Azure Active Directory Premium, then you also get a document tracking portal. And in that document tracking portal, you can have a look for every document that you have encrypted with rights management. You can see whatever happened to that document. Who tried accessing it? who was access granted, who was access denied. You can also revoke access to that document instantly from that portal. All right, so that's quite a convenient feature, but only available for Active Directory Premium in Azure. All right, if you want to start using this, like I also already said with the secure messaging, it's just one toggle. It's one button in Office 365, and it is enabled. 10 minutes later, you have Office 365 rights management services. Optionally, you can do some more stuff. For example, you can create additional policies. What I just told you about the fact that I can make sure that someone is only allowed to read a document, you can create policies of your own. You can also tell the system, hey, maybe this group can read the document, the other group can edit the document, and these people cannot print the document. That's also possible. You can create these policies yourself, and I will show you in the demo how that works. You can also enable rights management in SharePoint Online. By default, when you enable it, you can already, from an end user perspective, I can start encrypting my own documents. But you can also configure SharePoint Online on a library level, that whenever I drop documents inside that library in SharePoint Online, they're automatically encrypted with rights management. And lastly, that's a very cool feature as well. There is now a rights management sharing application that works outside Office 365 as well. It integrates in Windows, so you can download that tool. You install it. You need to sign in for the first time with your Office 365 credentials. And then you can encrypt files basically on your local hard drive or on every other device as well. It just integrates in Windows. Right click, encrypt, and the file is encrypted as well. Yeah. Yes.
How much of end user can control that other than to go through the normal process to go and take it?
Yeah, that's so. The question is, are end users also able to create rules themselves, or do they need to go through a process to have an admin create those rules? Yeah. You do not want end users to create these rules themselves. That's not possible. So you need to have rights for that in your Office 365 tenant. That's from the secure messaging perspective. From the RMS perspective, this is something that users can do themselves. And you can create policies. From an admin perspective, you can create policies in the backend, and all these policies will be available to end users, but end users can create their own stuff as well. They can tell, okay, only these three people I want to allow to edit this document with the same tool. All right. Yeah. Yes?
In this case?
I think you should. So the question is, a user would be able to deny all access to a particular document if he started using this. Yes, and then I think you should have a serious conversation with that user, with that employee. Yeah, you cannot prevent that. No. But then again, why would someone do that, right? If he would maybe want to protect a document, yeah, maybe not share it in the first place. All right, so right now I'm going to Azure Active Directory. So what you should know, with every Office 365 tenant, you also get an Azure tenant, right? And by default, that's not, it's there in the backend, but it's really not there. So the first time you click the Azure AD link from your tenant, from your Office 365 tenant, you have to create the Azure subscription. And once you have done that, you will find your Azure Active Directory in there with all the users of your Office 365 tenant in that Azure Active Directory. Okay? And once you have done that, here I have my directory, and I also have a tab, Rights Management. And when I click Rights Management, what you will see is that it is active. It is enabled for my tenant. I already did that because it takes 10 minutes to enable it. I didn't want you to be whistling or doing nothing for 10 minutes. So this is my rights management section in Azure Active Directory, and here I have my templates section. And when I click the templates, whenever you activate rights management, there's always two templates created by default. That's the confidential template, and that's the confidential view-only template. And what these two templates do, so these are available for your end users already, and what they do is, hey, with confidential means that the content cannot leave your organization. If I secure my content with this policy, then even if I would send the document out to someone outside my organization, that person would not be able to read the content of that document. All right, or edit the documents. And the next one, confidential view only, basically does the same, but even for people inside my organization, they can only view the document, they cannot edit the document. Now what I did, I created a third one, legal confidential, and when we click the template and we go to the rights section, what you can see here is that I have given rights to all employees. So whenever I'm going to encrypt a document or protect a document with this policy, then all the employees in my environment, in my company, are allowed to view the content of that document, and all the people in my legal department are allowed to author the documents. Okay? Now, I could add a new group here. So maybe I want the executives to be able to do something as well. And right here, I can tell, hey, do I want them to be viewers of the documents, reviewers, co-author? And in this case, let me choose custom, because that will give you an idea of what you can choose. Right? If I do not select print here, then this person, will a member of the executives group, will not be able to print the document. And of course, it's always a good idea to prevent people in executive groups from printing documents or doing stuff with documents, right? But you can set it up quite granularly what you want these groups to be able to do with your content. All right. Next is the configuration tab. Right here, I can either publish my policy or I can archive my policy. It's also something, it's good to keep in mind that if you want to disable a policy for people in your organization, don't delete the policy. Because if you delete the policy, all the content, all the documents that have been protected with that policy are useless, right? So if you want to stop people in your organization from applying this policy on new documents, make sure you archive the policy, because at least all the documents that have already been protected with this policy are still accessible. Okay. Next nice thing is it's multilingual. Okay. So in this case, I've set up an English and a Dutch translation. So the English name of my policy is Legal Confidential. The Dutch name is Juridische Zaken Vertrouwelijk, which must sound very familiar to you. And I can set up a Spanish translation here as well, and I can do that both for the name and the description. And this will follow the language settings of the user. So for companies who work worldwide, it's also possible to at least let your users know, let the employees know what this policy does for them in their own language. And then there is the option of content expiration. By default, the content never expires. If I assign a group of people to a policy, then as long as someone is a member of that group, he will be able to access the content. But I can set up maybe some content expiration as well. Maybe I have some top secret documents that I want to auto-destroy after 7 days or something. Where admission impossible, it's also within 10 seconds. Always within 10 seconds, but yeah. I can only set up a number of days here. Okay, but it is possible to set up content expiration. And the last one, that's quite a nice one as well, is offline access. So the first time I access a document that is protected with rights management, I need to be online. Why? Because I have to authenticate myself, and Azure Active Directory has to check if I'm allowed to read that document. But right here in the policy, I can set up what happens later on. Do I need to be online only that first time? Or do I need to be online every time? is only available with an internet connection, or do I need to be online every 7 days maybe? Okay. So this is quite powerful. You can set up quite some interesting policies here for your users. It's also quite confusing for users if they have never used this before. So don't go and enable this for all your users in your organization at once. Right? If you want to roll this out at your organization, do it in smaller groups and maybe only the group of people, maybe only legal departments or executives or people who do top secret stuff. Or, right? Now, what I told you about the integration with the rights management application, right here I have Windows Explorer, I have a couple of documents, right here I have one particular document, and in my shell integration I have this rights management tool. And the cool thing is, because I'm logged in my Azure Active Directory, I get exactly the same three policies that I just created, that I just showed you. So if I would create an additional policy in the backend, then it would show up here as well. But I also have the option, what we just talked about, to set up custom permissions. As a user, I'm self-empowered to set up custom permissions for a particular document as well. All right? Any questions so far on this topic? Good. Next topic, data loss prevention. Where rights management is more from an end user, is something from an end user perspective, an end user can use to protect particular content that they want to share with only certain people. Data loss prevention is more something from a company-wide perspective. So you can create rules in Office 365 that allow you to identify content, and based on the policy that you have created, something will happen with that content. So you can, well, basically there's two options. You can either warn a user that there is some content in that document or email that they're going to do stuff with, or you can block content. You can block the user. All right, so I can set up a rule, and maybe that if the rule finds some sensitive information somewhere in the organization, and then I can have this user get a policy tip in Outlook, for example, or in Word, that, hey, be careful. Maybe you're sharing something with somebody outside your organization, and the rule notices that you do that. So you get a warning, hey, you're going to share some sensitive information with someone outside your organization. It's okay, but just be careful, all right? So that's a warning. You can also block content. And from that moment on, you're not able to send out that email. You're just not able to hit the send button. Or maybe in SharePoint, the document, it will be blocked and it will no longer be visible to other users who normally have access to the document library. This works both in Exchange Online. It has been available for Exchange Online for quite some time. And quite recently, a couple of months ago, it became available for a SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business as well. And one more cool feature that I would like to tell you about is it supports fingerprinting. And fingerprinting, what that means is that if you have, for example, a Word template that you use maybe for patents, right, so every patent that you describe in your organization, it always follows the same template. It also always has the same chapter structure, paragraph structure, etc. You can upload that document to the DLP engine, and then it will recognize documents that are based on that template. Okay, so every patent document that I then have in my organization that follows that template will be, well, will follow that rule, will be identified by the data loss prevention engine. This is a screenshot of SharePoint in SharePoint Online. So we have documents that have a warning, and we have documents that are actually blocked. And when you click a document that has been blocked, then in this case, it will notify you of what the issue is, and you can set up some text here as well. In this case, we added some text of the of a help desk that you can call. But you can set up this this notification, this policy tip yourself as well. So let me show you what that looks like. So here's my data loss prevention section in the new security and compliance portal of Office 365. So if you go to protection.office.com, this is where you will end up. And right here, I have a rule called financial data in content, and it's set to on. And when I open up this rule, what you will see, I hope. Wow, this is nice. No internet. Yeah, this says internet access. There you go. Okay, so in this case, I have set up this rule to be applicable to both SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business. And I can also set it up to be applied to specific sites within your SharePoint environment as well. So you don't need to have some rule enabled for your entire environment. You can target it to particular OneDrive for Business sites or particular SharePoint sites. And when we go to rules, in this case, I have two rules. I have financial content. And when I open up this rule, what you will see is that whenever my content has a credit card number or a debit card number in there, then this rule will be triggered. And there's a lot of default rules that Microsoft provides out of the box. So I did not create the trigger for a credit card number. Microsoft already put this rule in Office 365 and made it available to us. So we can use those. There's also rules in here for social security numbers, for passport numbers, things like that. All right, so they're all there. But you can create your own identifiers as well. But there's quite a lot that are already out there, out of the box. So in this case, if there's a credit card number or a debit card number, then I have some actions. Then I want to block people from sending email or accessing shared documents. And I also want to send out a notification, in this case to the owner of the site, to the person who modified the document, and to the owner of the content. And I can customize policy tips. So in this case, there's financial data info in there. That's bad, bad. All right, so you can set up your own notifications, whatever you want. And I can send out incident reports as well. Okay, so I can notify other people in your environment, in your organization as well. Okay, and I have also created a column. I've just created a column in my document libraries, and whenever this column is set to yes, the name of the column is called sensitive. Whenever it's set to yes, this rule will be triggered as well. Okay, and in general, this is a nice feature. I can turn it out. I can turn it on. Sorry, I can turn it off, obviously, but I can also test it out. Right. So in this case, the content will not actually be blocked whenever a rule is triggered, but the notification, emails, and etc., they will work. So you can at least check if your rules, if they work. It's quite a convenience feature. All right. Last topic. Mobile device management. All right, so I want to protect my corporate data on devices of, on home devices maybe, of the people inside my organization. It's okay if they bring their own iPhone or Android or a Galaxy Tab tablet or iPad or Windows Phone. But if they use these devices, I at least want to have these devices protected. And there's quite a lot of stuff that you can configure for this. And I will show you in a demo what you can configure. But the most logical one is to at least have a PIN code on your device, right? There's still a lot of people who have a personal device without a PIN code. And that, like I said in the beginning, whenever you leave your device, and I find that device, I just swipe it open, I go to OneDrive, I go to my SharePoint app or whatever, and I'm able to access all the content in there. So with this, I can tell my employees, hey, it's okay if you use your own device, but you have to comply to my rules. And that means you need to have a PIN code. And if you do not have a PIN code set up on your device, the OneDrive for Business app will not work. Another nice feature of this is that you have selective wipe. And what that means is that if someone leaves your organization, or maybe if a device gets stolen after all, or they lose the device, maybe somewhere in a train, I can, from the backend, I can selectively wipe that device. Okay, I can tell the device, hey, now wipe all the content from all the corporate data, all the corporate content from that phone or from that tablet. And the cool thing about selective wipe is, because we already have full wipe for quite some time, right? Full wipe was already available when we had Active Sync back in the days. I do not know if you know that, but from Exchange, it was already possible to wipe a device through Active Sync. So someone would leave the organization, and you would wipe that phone, but that was a personal phone, and that person just became a dad. And all the pictures of his babies were all on that phone. And you decided to wipe that phone. That's not a happy person leaving your company, right? So with selective wipe, you can just wipe the corporate data. So if you want to start using this, again, it's just one toggle. It's just one switch. Turn it on. And then it's already available for Android devices and for Windows devices. If you want to start protecting iOS devices as well, there's one more thing you need to do, and you need to install a certificate. You have to request a certificate at iTunes, and then you have to install that certificate in your Office 365 tenant. And the steps that you need to take are pretty well laid out when you enable the button. Okay, when you click that button in Office 365, it will tell you exactly what you need to do to start protecting iOS devices as well. All right, so I have a couple of more minutes. All right, let's see if we can get this to work. Okay. Now I need to be on the same Wi-Fi, otherwise I cannot show my iPhone. I am on the same Wi-Fi. I have a server running, yep. There we go, mirroring. Yes, go away. Good. Okay, so here I have my iPhone. Done. All right. And now I'm going to fire up my OneDrive for Business app, and I'm going to add a OneDrive for Business account. And in this case, I'm going to add Sarah D at SharePointSushi.com, which is my Office 365 tenant. And then it's going to ask me to log in. And now, because this is a demo about security in Office 365, and I trust you all, so please look away, because I'm going to type in my password. And of course, when I type it in on an iPhone, you will see what I type in. Okay, so yeah. So, unfortunately, this is just a user. Oh, I get WhatsApp now as well. Cool. Password. That was my wife, by the way. I just swiped away my wife, so. Yeah. Yep. And she knows that as well, so yeah. All right, so there you go. Your organization needs you to beef up your security. Because one thing I did not show you, but you have to trust me on that because of time issues, but I did not set a PIN code to my device, okay? So now, Office 365 recognizes that. I need to enroll my device. So I'm going to click Enroll. And there we go. It tells me, hey, I need the Intune app. In this case, I've already installed it on my device. So this is a different user, Sarah D. Yeah, again, look away. All the people in the internet as well, yep. Company portal temporarily unavailable. Okay, there we go. Retry one more time. Sign in. No, okay, I don't know why. So far for my demo. But you have to trust me on this. What happens is that I enroll my device. It will tell me, hey, I've set up a policy that you need to set up a PIN code. And as soon as I've set up my PIN code, I get 30 minutes the time to set up a PIN code. If I don't do it within 30 minutes, then I cannot access the OneDrive for Business app later on, after the 30 minutes. So I set up a PIN code, and the cool thing is I cannot disable that PIN code. Okay, so whenever I go to my iPhone settings, normally you have the option there to disable the password, the passcode, and now I don't. I cannot disable that unless I unenroll my device. But when I unenroll my device, I cannot access my OneDrive for Business app. Okay, and then there's a lot of other stuff that I wanted to show you, but because we have some lack of time in the demo, unfortunately the demo gods are not with me today. But you, for example, you can also set up in a policy that maybe you do not want your users to sync to the cloud. They're not allowed to use the iCloud for backup. Right, you can set that up, or you do not want your users to allow to take screenshots. Whenever you click the screenshot buttons, it just doesn't work. There's a lot of stuff you can set up. Maybe you do not want to set up too strict of a policy for your users when they start using their own device, but at least there's a lot of stuff that you can set up. Good. And thanks, Jose, for all the nice social media. All right, so I have one more slide, and because there's quite much more that you can do to secure your data in Office 365. Of course, password policies. Whenever you start using the cloud, make sure that you are using password policies. Don't let people use the same password for ages and ages. All right. Next one, multi-factor authentication. That's something that you get for free out of the box in Office 365 as well. You can enable it, and then you can have people either text a code or have someone dial, call you on your phone, and you have to press the pound key. Hey, yeah, that's really me. Or you can use an authentication app on your phone, and that works for all the OS platforms, for iOS, Android, and Windows as well. And Exchange Online Advanced Threat Protection, part of the E5 license, but you can buy it separately as a separate license as well. If you have E1 or E3 licenses and you really want this, you can buy it separately as well. And with the Advanced Threat Protection, you can make sure that even, you're never entirely sure, but whenever people in your organization receive emails with malware, which has not been identified as malware yet, what will happen is when an email is received by Office 365, Microsoft will run the email through a secure box where they will actually start trying to run the attachment, and they will check for different things like, hey, is this thing asking for elevated permissions? Is it trying to modify my registry somewhere? So it's looking for all these kind of weird behavior, and if that is the case, then hey, you will not receive that attachment. It will warn you. So that is it. I guess you've seen this one. I guess you're still here because of the raffle, right? So you want to join the raffle. Make sure you collect all the stamps, etc. Thanks very much. Are there any questions?
Any? Yeah. I have a question about traceability.
Traceability. Yep.
When you, for example, allows an user to print and document, how can you know who gave the permission to print the document?
You mean with the rights management?
Okay.
You cannot see on a document, from the document perspective, you cannot see who assigned the rights management policy. No. No, not that I'm aware of. Okay. No. So whenever I'm, I can of course see who uploaded the document or who sent the email with the document to me, but that does not necessarily have to be the person who encrypted the document as well.
Imagine that you want to know who let a document get out of the company.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, with the document tracking portal, you can actually see that. In the document tracking portal, which comes with Azure AD Premium, then you can see all the activity around the document. Yeah, yeah. Sorry? You have to ask the owner. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
All right.
More questions? Come on.
Okay. Thanks very much.